Back here on Sports Talk, come on, East Bank All-Stars. They're currently trailing the team Lamar out of Texas. 2-1, bottom of the fourth inning. We go to six innings here in Little League, so just a little time left for East Bank to mount a comeback here. They're currently up to bat. We'll definitely be keeping you up to date on that this hour. Go back into the Cajun Cannons notebook, as well as getting to our WWL sound bank. Hear from running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The Cajun Cannon and I sat down with him after practice today, plus Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will join us as well. But first, Cajun Cannon, we're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, for the GM, James, is on the line. What you got for us today, James?
Hey guys, listen, I think it's time, given the situation we're in as a team, to kind of nix this DeJuan Johnson conversion to tight end. He was a wide receiver when we picked him up out of free agency or whatever. I think he's closer to becoming a knockoff Coastin than he is any version of a tight end that we had, or any other version of a tight end that Philly had. We don't have any wide receivers that can keep the 50-50 ball. That's crazy to even think that you expect Alave or Shaheed or much less Cooks to catch, 50-50 balls,
right,
in tight spots. That's just not who they are. But Coastin, Juwan Howard or Juwan Johnson, whatever his name
Juwan
is.
Juwan Johnson.
He was a wide receiver when we picked him up, right? And we converted him to tight end. That's done. May not have the makeup mentally because he's always popping up injured. Whatever the case is, he needs to be at least running wide receiver routes.
Well, he will, James. He's not going to be a pure tight end. So that's what you have to look with Kellen Moore, that you might see him flexed out like on the line of scrimmage, like a split end. He might be go in motion or shift or break the huddle and line up like, looking at the matchups. Or you might see him in the slot. He's not going to just be an end-of-line tight end like the traditional tight end. He'll do that also, but they're going to move him around and see for those mismatches where give an opportunity because of his size that make those contested catches. So he's not going to do, just because you're tight end, you're just going to line up by the tackle every snap. They're not going to do that with him.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, Bobby, he needs to do more of that given...
Well, they might give Kellen Moore a chance. They might give him more a chance. I'm telling you. I would not be surprised if Juwan Johnson is moved all over. Left, right, whatever. You can be the receiver on the end, but close to the sidelines, in the slot, or in the traditional tight end position. I think... they're going to try and use it all. They invested money in him to be that guy. I want to say he's out of all the starting tight ends, I want to say his salary is probably like 14 or somewhere around there. And so they expected high things from him. And he's shown in flash, James, if he could do that for 2 or 3 months instead of 1 month, he just needs to stay healthy and contribute for like a season instead of like flashing like 4 or 5 games.
13th, you were right, pretty spot on there, Cajun.
Yeah, I know what I said, 14. So, no, that's a lot invested in him. So they think he's going to step up.
He just needs to stay healthy. Yeah. And yeah. I'm worried about that. He was held out of practice again today, still dealing with that nagging groin issue. I hope that doesn't continue. Just let him rest.
And now, James, you had another question you want to do maybe about the running backs. So what do you have? What was the question you have about the running backs?
So with the running back, this kid is running a 4.31. Amazing.
Valus Jones?
Who was? I don't know why the Panthers let him go, but he was with the Panthers before he got there.
Right. He's with the Bears and the Panthers.
I mean, I don't get it, and I still haven't. I was at two camps thus far. I didn't see nothing, so I'm in my feelings. I didn't get a chance to watch those 126 plays. But the Cam Akers, I know that got drafted. There's no way he shouldn't make this team. You tell me, because I've seen Neal, but I don't see, besides blocking and maybe catching the ball, what is he as a running back? Because those two guys are asset running the ball. I'm speaking of Valus Jones.
And Cam Akers.
Catching, And Cam Akers, right.
No, that's a good point. I think there's a lot of competition there. Coach Moore said that he thinks they all have NFL skill sets, could make the team. But you got to be impressing the coaches at the right time to make the roster. So there's a lot of competition there. I don't know if it's going to play itself out, James. We're going to see.
Devin Neal's missing the wrong time right now.
Exactly. And Kendrick Miller. I mean, he's healthy. Let's see what he's going to do against the Chargers, Jaguars, Cam Akers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Velus Jones, and then I can't think of Delaware's name. Yarns. Yeah, I'm always calling him where he went to school. Delaware Blue
Hen.
How
do you remember?
Yeah, Delaware Blue Hen, Marcus Yarns. Yeah, they all going to have a chance. Now, you're not going to get 15, 20 carries. But you could get, if you're in a flow, like 8 to 10, two handfuls. What are you averaging per carry? All that's going to be evaluated. Okay, did you make people miss? Well, look at that cut. He really set up his blockers. Oh, look at the tackles he broke. You know, like that should have been no gain, and he gained 4 yards. Something simple as that. All that's constantly being evaluated. So, James, I don't know, Cam Akers, but he's had two torn Achilles, and he's rehabbed, and he's come back. No, Cam Akers is a stud coming out of Florida State. Just a shame the injuries he's had, but the Saints give an opportunity to see where he's at. But for the Rams, no, you know that name. Even Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we know him from LSU and with the Chiefs contributing. And then, having Clyde Edwards-Helaire just shows you the competition. Your boy from Rutgers, Steve, Pacheco. And all of a sudden, okay, Pacheco is a beast. Not only running over people.
Right.
So all of a sudden, Clyde Edwards-Helaire got to take a step back. And we talked to him. So he knows it's a great opportunity to make his hometown team and the Saints.
That's a good tease, Cajun Cannon. When we get back from the break, we'll dip into our WWO Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank, and hear from Clyde Edwards-Helaire right after this on WWL Saints Radio.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Happy to welcome in now Saints running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. How's it been going this training camp, man?
It's going good. It's going good. Just being able to get the reps where the reps are needed. Obviously, you know, we got a lot of heads and a lot of backs in the running back room. So it's really just been understanding the offense. If you can understand the offense, being able to get on the field and execute and making your reps count.
Clyde, today looks like one of your better practices. I said, well, that looks like, you know, then I take you down to the ground. And I gave you like 3 carries for 20 plus yards. That's like a 7-yard average.
Yeah.
And it seems like your vision was really smooth out there today.
Yeah, most definitely. I would say, even talking to the running back coach the past few weeks, he would say most of my runs have been pulled in the RPO game. So he really just wanted to get the ball in my hand most definitely today so we can, you know, see some runs. And I told him, like, put the ball in my hand, I'll still show you, you know, what I can do and what I can showcase. So, you know, even talking to Nuss today, he was like, you know, we want to get the ball in your hand and see you move a little bit. So just still showing that I'm that dude when I got the ball in my hand and rolling. So that's what you're seeing today, me getting the opportunity.
Yeah, speaking of that opportunity, I'm sure you're expecting that, you know, obviously when you're going out to California, that'll continue, and then the Chargers preseason game.
Yeah.
And it's all about those opportunities and reps. And you being a veteran now, you know those reps are valuable. And how you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the name of the game. You know, just really being available when your number's called. And then not only that, executing when you are available. So, I would say this being my sixth year in the league, I kind of know what is expected and what should be showcased. And I'm going to go out there and make it happen.
Clyde, because you in the huddle with him, what would, like, separate a guy, because you play with him, and like a Pat Mahomes versus these young quarterbacks we have out here right now? Like, if you can say one, two, or three things, like, and everyone's different, yeah. But then you can say, like, whoa, you could see Pat Mahomes, why he's Pat Mahomes. So.
I would say really just always being – not even two steps ahead of everybody. I would say playing with those guys, already kind of knew what type of play call was coming in, already knew what the head coach was thinking, making adjustments on the fly as far as being able to see the defenses And then just having the wherewithal to understand, like, oh, well, some of these plays don't work. So I'm going to have to make some adjustments to make sure we get the ball downfield or just be more successful than what the defense is going to be on this play. And once you kind of get that aspect down and knowing, like, positive yards are always a positive thing, being able to move the chains is always positive, and understanding that, you know, it's not always about the bomb. Sometimes getting to the check down will make you live longer so you can have more success on the further end of the field.
You mentioned the running backs, Coach, earlier. What's it like having Joel Thomas now in the mix? He's back in black and gold, too, this year.
Yeah, I would say JT came in and really just had his foot in and knowing, like, I'm back home too, as far as from his perspective and his standpoint. He talks about, you know, him bringing in and being with AK and then being with Mark early on, and talks about all the guys that he had. But it's really just him knowing what the Saints were all about is a huge deal. You know, it's one thing, you know, I grew up around it and seeing it, but it's one thing when you have somebody who was actually in the building who felt it. And, you know, so he's bringing his perspective on it and his winning. And I feel like that's same all the way down the board.
Clyde, how fortunate you feel, because you know how football is such a priority in Louisiana. Playing for the LSU Fighting Tigers and now the New Orleans Saints. And arguably, I think it was the best college season ever. And, you know, right now, I think that's what LSU's looking for. We need that run game. You know, going back to when y'all were national champions. But how does it feel just to be a part of that? And you know how the fans appreciate football here in these parts.
It's second to none. And I would say I feel it. Man, I was born, I was raised here. I know what football means. I know, you know, how different it makes the whole
community,
you know, feel, and just how our reaction to when good football is played, everything is better. I feel like the weather's better, the food is better, and me being here, you know, I've lived, you know, on a team and in experience and in the city where we didn't lose a game, and you felt like you were bringing the city joy and the state joy every single weekend, and just being able to be here and I'm wanting to do that on a professional level is something that I want to do. So just having the opportunity to do it with the Saints is more than enough to fulfill my dreams, and I most definitely want to fulfill them here. Being able to finish off everything or you know, get a Super Bowl ring or just play for as long as I possibly can for the Saints is most definitely what I want to do.
I think Tiger fans should be feeling week one going at Clemson.
Oh, man, feeling great, because I'm going to be on the plane headed there too. So
nice.
I'm excited.
Thanks so much for the time, Clyde. Good luck to you, and look forward to seeing you in action in the preseason and regular season.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank y'all so much.
That was our sit down right there with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And yeah, Sunday we're going to see some real reps, real live game action reps.
Yeah, I mean,
but like you mentioned, a great day of practice today for him.
Three runs, and they were like 7, 7, 8 yards. So you're looking at averaging like a little over 7 yards a carry.
That's like Taysom numbers.
I mean, yes, exactly. Taysom Hill numbers. I think any Kendra Miller would take that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire would take that. They all would. Cam Akers, whoever. What, I can average that? You know, Velus Jones? All of them. Yarns? No, that'll get the coach's attention. And again, it's not like, well, I could have ran through that hole. You know, you want the offensive line to block great, because then you get the 7 yards, and maybe you spring it.
Right.
And then you turn it into a really gash, like 25, 40-yard run. But, no, you're going to be evaluating what you're averaging per carry. Like, can you make people miss? Can you break tackles? Okay, it's a passing down, and you're in there, and you have to block. Do you know who in the hell you're blocking? Are you guessing? No, to be that complete back? No, it's not just purely running the ball. They're going to be evaluated on their assignment and seeing in the game action if they know what they're doing.
We got some tight action over at the Little League World Series going on with Louisiana and Texas tied 2-2. Just had a fly out to the outfield. Oh, runner is safe, though, at first. I thought that they was going to be thrown out. That is not the case.
Well, that's the second time that you see a base hit in the in right field, in the outfield, and they try and throw him out at first.
So Texas now top of the fifth, has runners first and third. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will join us with more on that practice update from the Black and Gold right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking all things black and gold, helping us break down today's practice and getting ready for the preseason game number one Sunday against the Chargers. Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. Just packing some bags, man. I got to get on the plane tomorrow, fly out to California. So, yeah, getting out there.
And Jeff, you know what's unusual about that? You know, because we look at like 2 days, you practice in the morning, you practice in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever witnessed a team or any team that their schedule, you know, and we're going to have training camp in Irvine for a while, is in the afternoon. Have you ever seen that? Now, you might see one practice, or we have a night practice or a late afternoon practice, but the schedule is going to be now, are they going to be slipping out after curfew? I mean, the old days, I can tell you, if they didn't have practice every day till 4 in the afternoon, I guess you have structures with meetings in the morning and all that, but I've never witnessed that day after day after day in Irvine is like, okay, we have practice at 4 o'clock. I don't know. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Yeah, it'll be good for those morning tea times, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Plenty of time to get out there, maybe get 36 in. I don't know. but, yeah, it is a strange thing. And, you know, Kellen talked about it today. He said they're basically going to do kind of install in the morning, walkthroughs, and then have an afternoon practice. And, you know, get used to kind of an afternoon schedule. He did point out that, you know, you do play in the afternoon. But in the Saints' case, they play at noon
right. Every
week. All 17 games. So you think, hey, if you wanted to get used to a game day schedule at that time of the day, you'd practice at noon. It doesn't really matter when you practice out there. It's either going to be a little warm at noon or a lot cooler at 4
right.
p.m. Maybe I would expect that they're going to try to get in a good bit of conditioning up there. They, you know, we haven't seen a ton of conditioning work here, and I think that's because the heat and the temperature and the conditions kind of force that anyway. Like, you don't need to do any extra gassers when you're having 126 play practice.
But Jeff, you talk about extra gassers. I don't think I've witnessed, maybe because I'm already going to get it set up for the media.
Right.
I don't think I've seen any gassers.
I haven't either.
Yeah, it's like, what are they gonna? And with Sean, I don't know, different coaches, different strokes, but if you're in shape, you're in shape. But I haven't seen any gassers, any. But I guess they don't look like they're huffing and puffing. They look like they're in shape. So I guess Coach Moore knows his team. But, yeah, we have not seen any post-practice like, okay, let's run a few gassers or something. But I guess as long as – if you win, you can do whatever you want.
Right. If it works, it works.
Right,
you know.
Right.
And after how things have gone the last few years with injuries, like, you know, maybe they were doing everything
good
wrong.
Point.
They should
good
try
point.
To do everything differently. Like, there's no bad ideas. The proof will be in the pudding when they get to the regular season and there's either more or less injuries. Hopefully it's less. We have seen a couple, you know, the injuries have started to pile up a little bit over the last week. They lost Nick Saldivari for the season with a knee injury. Devin Neal's dealing with a hamstring injury. Juwan Johnson is kind of limited. He had a groin injury earlier in the week, and so he's been kind of working back. He's been limited. JT Gray did get back today. He had been missing time with a hamstring injury. So it's just something to track. We'll have to see. But I do think the soft tissue injuries, issues that they've had to this point have been lower. It might be coincidental, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Now, Jeff, you know what I'm looking forward to? Because we've been talking about this, it seems like, since OTAs and minicamp. Well, which running back is going to step up and be that 1-2 punch with Alvin Kamara? I mean, I think, boy, this preseason is so important because the veterans we have, the young running backs we have. I don't know. Do you have a good feel who's at number two right now? I mean, I don't. I think, like today, you've seen flashes. I'm looking at Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, boy, three nice runs. It had been like 7-8 yard runs. Cam Akers had a nice one. Kendre Miller had one.
I feel like Kendre's still the number two guy.
But what if he goes against the Chargers and don't do jack? I mean, and let's say he gets stuff or he messes up like blocking assignment, like in pass protection, some that it should be basic 101 now. So I think it's wide open. Now, they would want Kendre Miller, the young guy, would have invested in him to work out. But I don't know. We got to wait and see with that. What's your take on that, Jeff?
Yeah, well, based on the depth chart they sent out today, or the unofficial depth chart that went out today, Kendre Miller is listed second. I don't know, take from that what you will. It doesn't really mean anything. If I was setting it today, I probably would have Kendre at number two on the depth chart, just because You know, I think he is the second most talented running back on the team. And, you know, when you see him on the field, you kind of get that. I think he is going to shine in these preseason games because he's going to get opportunities. He's healthy, which has been the biggest challenge for him. I think my question is kind of after that, right? Like, I think you're keeping at least three running backs.
Right.
And I think Kendre is going to be one of them. And then, so who's that other guy going to be? Is it going to be a Valus Jones because you really love the speed? Is it going to be Clyde because you just love the pass catching ability and he's just so little he sneaks around in there? You know, the Devin Neal injury is a real bummer for him because this is a very competitive room. Like, Cam Akers is in there. Even Marcus Jarns has shown some ability. So losing 2 weeks, losing one, maybe two preseason games, I mean, that you're a sixth-round pick. You're not guaranteed a roster spot. So,
right.
You know, he's going to hopefully that he can get back on the early side. Kellen Moore said week to week. So hopefully it's more like a week than 2 weeks because I think he's got to show something to make sure you make this roster.
Yeah, to make that roster. Or they wouldn't be giving up on him, but he'd be more like a practice squad guy. Oh, maybe we can develop him. I think they want him to be part of the organization, but it depends your status as far as where you had an impression that you put forth as far as if you make the active roster. Now, Jeff, I wanted to ask you this because I read this in the Picayune and with Matthew. I thought these numbers, I didn't realize this. And he was talking about the offensive line and, you know, people that look at the offensive line, the O-line ranking. In the NFL, it was like the Saints tend to fall somewhere between 22 and the 25 range. Now he said this expert, I forgot his name, but anyway, the line has been better suited for run blocking than pass protection. And I thought this was interesting because we're counting on him, and they moved them from left tackle now to right offensive tackle. Fuaga played at times last year. You look what he was doing, but his struggles in pass protection, I didn't realize this, but his pass block win rate of 84% ranked 57th out of 66 qualifying tackles. And so obviously, like I said, they moved him back to right tackle, the position he played in college. So everyone, you know, we're giving Trevor Penning the business, you know, by pass protection, that Fuaga, I mean, now he's a legit starter, but he has to improve a lot too, considering, and I think he will since he's not a rookie, but looking at 66 qualifying tackles and people who really focus on the offensive line, they had him ranked 57th. So I was like, I thought, and that's like Pro Football Focus people when they're paying attention to every snap. And what are they winning or losing? What they're doing as far as pass pro. And I thought that was interesting. Said, well, better suited for run blocking than pass protection. And then this in Thorne was his last name, the guy evaluating. He said, now, if all three hit, like Fuaga, you look at Banks, you look at Trevor Penning, he's sitting where he was drafted. If all three hit, then yeah, maybe the Saints could be a top 10 line, offensive line, instead of like 22 to 25. Just break that down and what do you think about that?
Yeah, pass block win rate is always a tough one to kind of gauge for me because, you know, you don't have to win a pass block to not have it affect the play, right? I think part of being an effective tackle is understanding that you don't have to win every rep, but you have to make sure you don't lose it in a certain way, right?
Right,
like if I ride the defender outside where he can't get to the quarterback, I maybe didn't win, but I didn't lose either. So I don't know. Like I don't think that he allowed a ton of pressure last year, and that's really all you can ask from a rookie. Like, he'll get better. I also think you were probably sending a lot more help to Trevor's side than you were to Tally's side, so you probably weren't chipping nearly as much, but. I feel good about the offensive line. I feel good about those two guys. I think Tally will probably be a little more confident, a little more comfortable on the right side. But, and he's probably going to be on an island again. Like, that's kind of the deal when, you know, the guy on the opposite side of you is the one you're worried about, which was the case last year. It's going to be the case this year with Kelvin Banks as a rookie left tackle. So, you know, he's a guy that I kind of trust to leave on an island. But, yeah, I mean, you'll expect him to get better. And that's why when you look at the Saints offensive line, you're like, okay, you know, probably his worst year was last year where you had him playing out of position as a rookie. And so he should continue to get better. Caesar should continue to get better. Eric, is probably, you know, at his in his prime now. And then you just figure out what you have on the left side.
Now, Jeff, when I look at the linebacker position, obviously DeMario Davis, and then you got I can't think of his name now, Werner, and you got Pete Werner, and then but looking at you know, I've taken notes and they made plays like come up with interceptions. Obviously, you look at the rookie Stutzman, but also veterans, and Nephi Soles dealt with injuries. But he's come up with some interceptions, and then you look at DeMarco Jackson, Appalachian State. You know, he's you know, they've been outstanding on special teams. So when I look at the linebacker core and the competition and the depth there, very competitive room. But a lot like Isaiah Foskey, I don't know. Have you taken a note on Jalen Ford, the linebacker out of Texas, is going into his second season? The 6'2", 240 looks the part, but. I don't know. Well, what do you think of him? Because when you're taking notes and watch what they do in practice, I haven't even mentioned his name once.
Yeah, it's a weird situation, right? Because normally you would look at a guy who was a fifth-round pick last year and feel like, well, that draft status alone will help him make the roster because you're going to feel like there's an investment. I think when you change coaching staffs and you have such a turnover like they did this year, that kind of goes away, and it kind of becomes, okay, who's producing? Right? Like who's actually right. Going out there and making plays. And yeah, so, I mean, I think there's going to be, I would guess there's going to be two or three cuts this year that if it was a Dennis Allen year, you would say, yeah, they're going to be here because it's a new system, because it's a new scheme and coaching staff, a guy like Jalen Ford. I don't know. Now this coaching staff does like Texas, right?
Right.
They have gone to Texas multiple times for coaches, for players. So, you know, there's a lot of guys on this staff that are familiar with Jalen Ford, and I'm sure they have a high opinion of him, so that may help. And, you know, I think there are some players, you know, like I think we are all waiting to see Isaiah Foskey make an impact. You know, he's the second-round pick from 2 years ago. Is his spot in jeopardy? Is he going to make it because he's a special teams ace? Cam Jordan did say some really nice things about him today, so maybe there's some more going on behind the scenes that we're not seeing. But no, I think there's going to be some really interesting conversations about players that would feel safe if you hadn't made the regime change. And now with the new coaching staff, are definitely a lot closer to that line.
Now, Jeff, looking along, the competition, boy, it's like they all can't make the team. And you look on the defensive line and the depth there, like whether it's defensive end, whether it's a guy coming out of nowhere like Jasheen Davis, the rookie out of Wake Forest, the free agent, or veterans like Jonathan Bullard, Jonah Williams, Chris Rumpf, and looking at all those players. And then you look at the interior defensive line, Jonathan Bullard, you know, guys that were back on the team like Nathan Shevron, Colin Saunders. But you look at Godshaw, obviously, and Vernon Brown, the draft pick. But that's a lot of competition, a lot of players there. What's your take on that tight competition there? To me, Jonathan Bullard, 10-year veteran, like, oh, you always want to go young. You want to go young. But I don't know. I think that's a guy, a 10-year veteran, come out of University of Florida. And I've seen him, a couple of notes I've taken on him as far as him putting pressure and getting penetration. So there could be some tough cuts coming along, whether it's DN or interior D-line coming up.
There's just so many players in the mix. Like, it's just so many options.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of this has been, hey, we're just trying to figure out what people can do and where they can play and who can do what. On the interior, you know, I think it becomes a lot less complicated now that you have Devon Godshaw and you can just plug him in there and say, we have our run-stuffing nose tackle. And you can kind of build
right.
Everything around that, you know, because I need a backup nose tackle. I feel good about having Brian Brzee as one of those 3-4 defensive ends. I probably need another one. Is that going to be Nathan Shepard? Is it going to be, you know, even a Christian Boyd? He's been playing primary nose tackle. He might start branching out as you go. Colin Saunders is on the depth chart as their backup nose. So, now, I mean, I think there, again, it's kind of like linebacker. I think there's a lot of positions on this roster where, you know, a guy like Jasheen Davis, like, I don't think it's a mirage that he's going out there and making plays. Like, he's making an impact. The coaches are being forced to look at him on every play and be like, wow, another sack. I think he had five in three practices.
Right, right. So, now you might say, now who is he beating? Is he beating somebody that's not going to be playing on Sunday? Right. Might be in the UFL. But what if he goes against the Chargers? Who was the guy we had last year who had like maybe three sacks or two tackles for a loss and a sack? They put him on the practice squad.
Nico, I'll tell you who it is. It's Nico Lalos.
Yes, yes.
Preseason king.
Yes. So I'm saying, I don't know, at least Jasheen Davis, about what he's doing in practice, they'll put him on the practice squad just because how hard he practices and all, give a good look with the scout team. So that's why it's important, even though here's a guy in Wake Forest, rookie, not even drafted, that you get the coach's attention, then they appreciate that and you end up being part of the team.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And I mean, like, yeah, there's a question always of how do you weigh production versus, hype and potential, right?
Yeah.
Because when you have one guy going out there and making plays, right, like ending drives with sacks, and you have another guy who's like, yeah, but we know he can be really good. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you just got to roll with the production, right?
Yeah, I agree, Jeff.
Jeff, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the trip out west. We'll be talking to you soon for sure.
Sounds good, y'all. Thanks.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, WWL digital content producer. You can check his practice wrap-up at WWL.com, as well as all his other articles covering the black and gold. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Go ahead.
And you know, Steve, you know, I was thinking about, because I'm going to forget it before, that Lalo's guy,
yeah.
I want to say like he went to Dartmouth or something.
Dartmouth, yeah.
I believe,
you're
yeah.
Right.
Like, yo, yeah. I'm like thinking, like, okay, they'll find like, you wherever you're at.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, do you think stud college defense like Wake Forest? No, you think about Wake Forest spreading it around, throwing it and all that? Well, I don't know. This guy right here is like, who's that guy, Jasheen? Jasheen Davis, I don't
Jasheen
know.
Jasheen the Dream.
Ricky, 6'3", 270, rookie from Wake Forest. You don't think, Wake Forest defense, they're always awesome.
Name to look for on Sunday.
That was like last year. Dartman? Oh, look at this guy. Practice squad, make a living.
We're going to take a break, be back, and close out Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Cajun Cannon winding down this Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. I know we'll be talking to you game day against the Chargers. Pre-game coverage will be on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Real quick, what are some things you'll be looking for?
Well, just looking out, coming out the gate smoking, in that first quarter. Are we winning or losing? Because the Chargers came out smoking against the Lions. What happened to the Lions when they played the Lions Hall of Fame game? The Lions had like five turnovers. Don't turn over the ball. Don't give them a short feel. That's why the Lions got smoked by the Chargers. They didn't play protective football. You got to take it away, but you got to protect it. And they didn't do that.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. More Sports Talk, Cajun Cannon. Say goodnight to the Hoodats.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hoodat, go Saints.